I'm the bone at the bottom refused. I am the versatile, the penetration that made pussy black and blue. I'm the stroke that make your walls grip tight. The same stroke that have your nutsack shaking from your left to your right. I am the faggot in your box, the bullet in your bum. The realest hoe that lets you know to tell me when you come. The whoring has just begun. I promise to leave you numb. And I'ma feel your jaw till it's spilling over your gums. Gums. Knock, knock, knock. Sumo dick. Knock, knock, knock. Sumo dick. Knock, knock, knock. Sumo dick. Knock, knock, knock.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. More chaos. Brought to you by our very own Lorenzo. Wow. Love that.
Give me that Diak Niago.
All right, welcome to Big Boy Brunch, where topics get tasting. I am Lolo Von Z, a.k.a. the Liberian Aquarian, Das Oso Wata, a.k.a. the Jaw of Connoisseur, a.k.a. the Patron Saint of Crunchyroll Passwords, a.k.a. the Jack of All Trades who jacks off all trade, a.k.a. the Queer Golf Course because I keep 18 holes on me, a.k.a. Lolo Rambo, no Monica, a.k.a. Black Dynamite, don't you interrupt my kung fu, a.k.a. MODOK, hey Big Head, a.k.a. Rhea and the Last Faggot, because my sword reaches all you niggas, a.k.a. your first choice for a verse voice. And now it's time to introduce the hostess with the mostest, my work husband till copyright infringement do us part, Mr. Dre. What up, Drayson Todd? What's good, Black Hood?
God, my nigga's so clever. Yes, as every week I say, I'm here, queer, mostly used to it. One day I'll be fully used to it, not today. But yes, I'm feeling good, and I'm ready to talk shit, as always. Like that's ever an issue. But yeah.
All right, love it. Wonderful. So we got a dope ass brunch for y'all today. Trying something new. We got some delicious breakfast croquettes. So we got scrambled eggs, tomato, jalapeno, cheddar, bacon and mashed potato, all rolled together and deep fried in a crunchy, cheesy, savory fried cake of goodness. And we sipping on some rosé because it's that kind of day.
You're back to the alcohol. Love it.
Back to it, of course. Yeah, I couldn't stay away for too long. All right, moving on to a heaping helping of blurred goodness, and we got a lot today in a segment I like to call Nerdy Nuggets, Tyler Perry's Closet of Pain.
Lord have mercy.
Hello.
So, it's the second episode of the week. And we're going to do something a little bit different. We are going to do a bunch of reviews for y'all for two different shows. We're going to do DC and Marvel. Ooh, ooh, we love it. So first, in the first segment, we are going to do Titans from HBO Max. And we're going to kick things off right now.
Where I come from? You come after family? We show no mercy.
The third season of the American superhero streaming television series Titans premiered on HBO Max on August 12, 2021, and is scheduled to conclude on October 21, 2021, consisting of 13 episodes. It was executive produced by Akiva Goldsman, Jeff Johns, Greg Walker, Greg Berlanti, Sarah Schechter, and Richard Hattem, with Walker serving as showrunner for the third consecutive season. Developed by Goldsman, Johns, and Berlanti, the series is based on the DC Comics team Teen Titans. Brendan Thwaites, Anna Diop, Tegan Croft, Ryan Potter, Connor Leslie, Curran Walters, Joshua Orpin, Mika Kelly, and Alan Richson return to the main cast from the previous season, joined by Season 2 guest star Damaris Lewis and series newcomers Savannah Welch and Vincent Kartheiser. In the third season, the Titans team of Dick Grayson, Corey Anders, Gar Logan, Connor, Dawn Granger, and Hank Hall travel to Gotham City after learning that their former teammate Jason Todd was murdered. Tasked with protecting the city in the absence of Bruce Wayne, the Titans find themselves targeted by a still-alive Jason, now calling himself Red Hood. Dick, working alongside former vigilante partner and love interest Barbara Gordon in her new role as police commissioner, is forced to receive assistance from incarcerated criminal Jonathan Crane in stopping Jason. Further conflict emerges from the arrival of Corey's sister, Blackfire, who is seeking to maintain her rule of their planet Tamaran. Meanwhile, Titan Rachel Roth trains with the Amazons and Themyscira as she attempts to resurrect fallen teammate Donna Troy. All right, so we are going to do our new review format. We are going to do the good, then we're going to do the bad, and then we're going to do the nigga what? So I think we're just going to talk generally about the first three episodes that dropped on HBO Max. Yeah, because like there's no shade. I actually do love Titans. Like I'm a hardcore Teen Titans fan. Like literally, I was just watching the old cartoon the other day. I was watching about like season five with like where the Teen Titans link with the Doom Patrol. It's a lot of fun. So so we are going to talk Titans. It is Titans talk. So Dre, what did you like about these first couple episodes?
I like that I got to see Starfire. So that's always nice.
Oh, Anna Diop is stunning. Yeah. Oh my God. When she came cascading down in a ball of fire.
That was so fucking amazing.
Fuck me up, mama.
God.
She was like, yes.
She's so good.
She's like, yes, I'm hot. I'm like, yes, you are.
Like, I was like, that is so corny, but I allow it. I love it.
No, but for real, like I know they got two, like they got to have the pretty girls. They have like you know, Dove is there, and she's like the pretty white girl, but like mm-hmm. Corey, like Starfire, like she is like the it girl of the season,
right?
Of the show, like literally, she walks through a room, and like is. All eyes on her. Like, mama is stunning. Goddamn.
Yeah. What else? I like the fact that Batman is gone.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I really appreciate it.
Don't know how I feel about Batman.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce Wayne Batman specifically.
Yeah. They made sure to get Batman the fuck up out of there. So the kids can play.
I'm happy to see, even though like Batman is annoying to me, Bruce Wayne's Batman is annoying, to see him finally get to a point where he's like, yeah, I'm going to murder someone.
We're spoiling a lot. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh, shit.
Fine. I should have just said it. Like, if you've been watching, if you've been listening, like you know our zhuzh, but yeah, we're spoiling this shit, so.
Yeah, so, virtuous Batman, who never murders anyone, murdered someone, and that nigga freaked the fuck out to the point where he left the whole city. But also, I'm sorry. So when I initially saw, another spoiler, sorry, when I initially saw Jason get murdered... I thought that he was getting murdered by a cane, you know, Joker's cane, but he was actually getting murdered by a crowbar.
Oh, so that's iconic for that,
right.
that Red Hood storyline. Like,
right.
Jason Todd gets kidnapped by the Joker. Like he gets his ass beat and,
Yeah, so that was cool that they did that. Yeah. Well, it's not cool. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, like, the reason y'all can correct me if I'm wrong is like in the original comics, when they introduced Jason Todd, like the original the fans didn't really like him. Like they didn't like him, and they protested. Like they sent in letters and like we don't like this Robin. So that's why they set up that whole Red Hood storyline to like beat his ass. And yeah, they were like, "Oh, you want him to die?" And like, "Yeah, you want him to die?" They were like, "Yeah, girl." So they were like, "All right." They got his ass beat and they had him resurrected. They have not gone into how he got resurrected yet, but I feel like that they'll get into that later on into the season.
But I mean, they kind of hinted at it. With like, you know, somebody just casually mentioned someone, and they didn't really, you know, take it too seriously, or they were just like, "Oh no, that's not what happened. Like, I don't think that's what happened."
They took him to Ra's al Ghul's Sandals Resort and just like dropped him into a hot tub and like, you know, like a couple bath salts and he popped back up.
Not bad.
Good salt. As new.
But yeah, and of course, like, you know, I like the and you know, drag me for it, but you know, the violence. A good amount of violence.
Actually, yeah, I liked it. What I really liked is, yeah, like, we've been waiting so long. Like, me personally, I've been waiting so long to see a live action Nightwing just really let loose and like beat people's asses, and we got that. We got that in the first episode. Like, Dick is, and he's very casual. Like, he's having fun. I like the first scene is like the Titans, like they're beating ass. Like, he's got the two Kali sticks, like the supercharged Kali sticks. You know, just, you know, beating these motherfuckers like a steel drum. That part where he charges up the tasers on his Kali sticks and just like walks up the railing and like sends the charge through the railing. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. Yeah, I like that. I like the fact that Beast Boy has a better hold on his powers. And he can fight. Like, he was like he was beating ass like in that first scene. Like, he, and when he like ran up the side of the wall and like he turned green and then he turned into the tiger and then he was like jumped around. I'm like, okay, all right, cool. This is cute. The tiger still looks a little, you know, it's clearly a CGI tiger, and it still looks a tad, you know, clunky, but it's believable enough. Believable enough. Still don't know what Superboy is doing here, but he does what he's supposed to do. You know, he's strong or whatever. Crypto was adorable. that scene, I guess that shot where the evil dude tries to come back with the ratchet and like, you know, fuck shit up, and he's like, oh, it's all four of them, excuse me, five of them, and Connor just tells Crypto to speak. He just like fucks this dude's ear up. I'm like, oh, that's really cute. It's really cute. The fact that the city knows who they are. And I felt bad for Beast Boy because, yeah, Connor just got here and he's getting like more praise. Garfield, like, I defeated a whole fucking demon last season. No recognition for Beast Boy. Like, no, girl, that's not what you get. What else? Barbara Gordon. I think she did a good job. The actress, like, it, you know, it's I like the fact that they're able to utilize this character without her being not necessarily Batgirl, and just alluding to it. It would have been nice to have a little you know, picture here and there of like, you know, her like dressed up as Batgirl, but you know, her being the commissioner of the police station instead of her father. Her father passed away. It just makes sense that she would do it. And you know, she's I like the fact that the keepers of Gotham, like, it's a changing of the hands, and we get to see the younger generation take over, which I really, really appreciated. Red Hood. Oh no, we can get to him later. Hawk and Dove. I still think that they would actually be better with their own show. I don't hate them. Like, I think they're a great duo. I really like their chemistry, and I forget the name of that dude who plays
Hawk. He's very attractive. Like, and I'm really not with the whole like slim muscular dude, but like he's fine. He's like legitimately fine. So I would watch the two of them like in anything. And like they're straight couple who love each other, and they put on costumes and they beat ass. And I'm like, just give them their own show. Just give them their own show. It's cute. Hawk and Dove, and I love it. What else? All right, Red Hood. Yeah, we can get to Red Hood. I guess. Well, there are things I liked about Red Hood, and there's things I didn't like about Red Hood. So, he does have the costume. He does have the costume. The first scene that introduces him of like him throwing the bag on the table of like the he's like, yo, I just killed all of your bosses, and you know, we're gonna do business. It's not a question. Like, we're doing business, or I'm coming for all of y'all. And I'm like, okay, all right, cool. All right, I fucks with it. The little stunts he'd be pulling around town, they're cute. I'm like, okay, all right. Here's a villain who's actually serious, and he's gonna be like a constant threat throughout the series. Always some white dude in a mask with guns that the Titans got to run around and fight. Last time it was Deathstroke. Now it's Red Hood. But yeah, interesting. It is interesting. And anything else? The third episode 3 actually really gagged me. I was like, wow. I won't spoil it. We have spoilers, but I won't spoil that because I think you should just watch that. Like, they actually went there at the end of the episode. I was like, oh shit, they really did that to a character. Okay. Mm. All right. Okay. This show was serious. They're getting serious. Okay. All right. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I like this. It's a crew mix up, and yeah, I like that. I like the fact that Dove, she really went to like, you know, she really dug into like her vigilante slash like anti-hero, you know, bag to help Hawk, and it really further solidified their feelings for each other. And I'm like, oh, you know, because like back in, because I think in the beginning of the episode, she was dating some other dude, but then by the end of the episode, like she's willing to steal millions of dollars to help save Hawk. And I was like, oh, that's a ride or die. That is a ride or die. that's my man. I'm gonna stick beside him.
Right.
It was cute. It was really cute. And Hawk is very attractive. So I think he's like the cutest guy on the thing. And he's just I like his energy. He's been in a bunch of other stuff. He's been he played Aquaman in Smallville. Like, this dude has been working for a really long time. You know how long ago Smallville was, and he was in what? Blue Mountain Ridge, or that comedy show about football. I think it was like college football. Like, and he's just kind of like been acting for a really long time. Like, he's one of those few like white actors that like don't age because they just like mind their business. And they just like, you know, granted, I don't follow his social media, so I don't know what he may or may not have said, but you know, the fact he still be looking this fine after like 10, 15 years is, you know, all right, cool. I like that. anything else before we get to the, No, I think that's it. All right, we can move to the bad. All right. Okay. So I didn't like the fact that Raven was gone, and they didn't explain it at all. I didn't like the fact that they just kind of, I mean, excuse me, they did explain it, but it was in a very throwaway sentence that Garfield was like, he just said it as he was watching YouTube videos. Oh, I will say, as he was watching, I did like the fact that he was watching YouTube videos of different animal fights, because, you know, currently he can only transform into a tiger. So, like, and it's actually addressing an issue that I've had. I'm like, why can Garfield only transform into a tiger? So I'm pretty sure, like, by the end of the season, we'll see him transform into other animals, and it's going to be a whole thing. All right. But I'm like, she was a main character, and y'all just kind of threw her to the side. Not threw her to the side, but just, like, the way y'all explain her being gone is just really obnoxious. And y'all just, like, threw it out there. And I'm like, and the fact that, oh, Donna Troy is, oh, like, oh, you know, Raven's just in Themyscira trying to bring back Donna. And I'm like, what? Like, what? Y'all, like, mourned her, and, like, y'all, and the fact that nobody really treated it like it was that heavy, because they just, almost like the crew knew that she was going to be come back to the cast. And because, like, and another thing, it's Raven's fit, like, it needs some work. Like, I don't know if it's part of the story, but, like, it's so weird. Donna Troy died last season, and now she's all up in the season 3 promo, you know, with her suit on, you know, looking all, like, glorious. Like, everyone got their fits on, everyone's looking fly as fuck, and then Raven in the middle looking like she babysits kids in Noma in Soho, like, with the grandma sweater and the necklace. Like, give us Raven. Like, she looks so out of place in the promo. I'm like, what is going on, y'all? What are y'all doing? I know you're trying to maybe keep it under wraps or something like that, but, like, give us, like, a full, like, spread. She just seemed a tad out of place. It was like everybody was ready for war, and she was ready to tuck the kids into bed. that kind of bothered me. Another thing, I did think the fight scenes were a little bit disjointed and weren't well lit. Like, they could have been lit a lot better, and it was kind of hard to see some of the fights. And I have a feeling that's by design. But yeah, I feel like it, like, you know, there's a way to fight, you know, there's a way to film people fighting at night, and it, you can actually, like, see things. I felt like that could have been done a little bit better. Also, sorry, hold on, my phone keep dropping. You on sorry. While I liked the look of Red Hood, he was not physically imposing enough for me. And I knew they were going to have this problem looking at who they picked as Jason Todd. Like, the whole season, I'm like, oh, he's going to be Red Hood. But, like, this white boy is 12 years old. How are they going to do this? It don't match up. He going to die and come back. And he gonna look like Justin in Power Rangers Turbo, like, but before, like, he hits the growth spurt. Like, what? I'm confused. And then he shows up, and in the fight scenes, like, him and Nightwing are like head to head. Excuse me. Are like they're pretty much the same height. But, like, I know, like, this boy is shorter than Nightwing. So I don't know what's going on. Like, it just, like, Red Hood, like, he's an interesting character, but, like, he's evil in a way that it doesn't, he's sneaky. And I've always known Red Hood to be physically imposing in different media. He don't strike fear in my heart. Like, for me, like, Deathstroke, like, when he walks into a room, it's like, oh shit. But with, like, Red Hood, it's like, yeah, girl, like, you need to take that helmet off and register it if you're going to walk up into the convention with it. So, yeah.
I think I agree with you, but also I think it could be a different take on Red Hood, simply especially because it's like, because, you know, it's the show instead of the comic, you know, they always take liberties. Yeah. So like him just being like, when they first introduced him, when he went into that room of the robbers and he just like was just killing people. When that nigga tried to bring his gun out to shoot him, he shot him straight between the eyes.
He was like, "No, like the and fuck then they you all thought." Put
their guns down. They're like, "Okay, we're in. Got it."
Yeah, he might be MAGA. He might be Proud Boy. Let's just do it.
Honestly, and you know the fact that he has not been afraid to kill anyone.
Anyone can get it.
And he basically made...
Go ahead.
I'm not going to spoil it. I'm going to say he basically made someone kill someone for him.
Yeah. That was pretty ruthless. And I appreciate that.
God damn. Like, she's going to... Wow. This person is going to be fucked up by this for a long time.
And I'm like, okay. All right. There, you have my attention, Titans. Okay.
Exactly.
This is what
I was like,
this is them applying the notes. Like,
yeah. Right. For me, I think the only thing I could say, I really, really didn't like it. And it's only because it's the first three episodes. The fact that and of course there's going to be more later on, but the fact is in the first three episodes they give us like one scene with Tim, and then like the other two episodes nothing.
Literally nothing. Thank you for bringing up Tim Drake. I really liked him. I like the fact that he's I like the fact that he's black and Asian. I think that's really cool. And I like the fact that he knows very, very, you know, from jump that cops are trash.
Yeah.
Like I really, really appreciate that. The fact that he's like, the cop said something like incorrect. He like corrected them about the heroes. Like, oh, you know, Batman and them, they're this and that and third. They turn around like, what'd you say? I was like, he's like, never mind. I was like, like, this is my child. Like, yeah, like, like, cops don't save shit. It's the heroes out here.
Right.
Back to the good. Can we talk about Tim Drake's father? Daddy.
So cool.
So nice. Thick.
So easy.
Ball head. And he work in a restaurant, so you know he know how to cook. Owns a restaurant, so you know he know how to cook. black people taught Asian people how to fry chicken. So you know the food in there is banging.
Yeah.
Oh God. Like, ooh. Alright, calm down. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to see that. Yes, I'm glad that Batman like got the fuck up out of there, but I didn't like it how quickly things went, and it just felt. And yeah, I know they're trying to tell a different story. I think they're trying to, you know, in this world, Batman is a piece of shit. Like a complete piece of shit, like completely emotionally unavailable. I mean, yeah, he's usually that, but at least he has some sort of reasoning. Like, Dick was just, like, reading him for everything, and he didn't say shit back. He said...
Barbara, too.
Yeah, Barbara, too. And also something I didn't like, she was, like, it was very odd having someone in a wheelchair saying something like, "I stood down for you." That was odd. That was weird. All right, but back to Bruce. The fact that he like buried Jason just quick, didn't even tell Dick. It's a little too dark. And the fact that the fact that Dick was on his computer and looking through, and Bruce Wayne already had, he had a whole file of like kids, young kids with like abilities. And I'm like, I also thought it was cool because like they had like, you know, different people who have been Robin in the comics. Like they had Duke Thomas in there who was Robin, mm-hmm. and then he went on to be the Signal, like the black kid in the computer. That's him. I think I've shown you a picture of him. He's the Signal. He is the, his thing is he's the main Bat member of the Bat family who primarily fights during the day. And he, like, his superpower is he, his mind can create, like, visual timestamps of, like, what happened at a certain place. So he, like, if somebody robbed a building, robbed, or, like, you know, or say a crime was committed somewhere, like, he can kind of, like, scan that area and, like, see what happened previously. It's a pretty cool power. Mm. And he kind of looks like he's kind of got like a Daredevil fit, but it's like yellow and black. It's pretty sweet. But mm-hmm. yeah. But it was just very.
But yeah, that eerie. Database was really creepy.
Creepy. Like, why do you have a file of children just on yeah. you? Like, if the feds bust in right now, you're going to jail. You are going to jail.
Like, sir, what is this?
What is that? What is this?
I don't like this.
Like, why do they, like, girl, why do they have to be like straight up kids? Like,
right.
20, maybe like 20 years old, like maybe in the college age, but they look like they're, it's giving like first, second, third period.
Right.
Like, why do they have to be kids? It's fucking weird. And then he asked Dick if he wanted to be Robin again. And I'm like, that's fucking weird.
Right.
Like, Batman would never say that. Like, Batman seems like super desperate in this and unhinged. And the fact that, I also didn't like the fact that he killed Joker off screen. I was like, yeah, it's like, it's been Batman versus Joker, and everybody's like, oh my God, why doesn't Batman just finally off Joker? And he just kind of did it, and they kind of breezed past it. And it was weird. It was very yeah. weird. And I get that they're trying to focus on the younger kids, but it was just like it was weird. It felt like something that holds that much cultural weight as Batman killing Joker should not have been like window dressing for the episode.
I get that, yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah.
What else?
I think the nigga what part, of course, is the one we're trying so hard not to spoil, which is like the end of episode 3, where what? Like shit just
it was like yeah wild. that was yeah when you watch it you'll know. And I was like yeah. I actually felt bad. I was like, oh shit. But yeah, definitely a nigga what of this is Starfire's random ass visions.
Yeah.
She
yeah,
would just yeah. randomly like she would just randomly like have these visions, and then all of a sudden she'd be in the middle of the street.
Right, she was in the middle of the street, and then
like, girl, what are you doing?
She was speaking. Was she speaking Tarmit?
I think she was speaking her native tongue.
Walking in the house speaking it.
Yeah, walking in the house like not really talking, pretty much like talking to yourself. It was giving the energy of a mom who is fed up because like nobody wants to do any chores. Like fine. I do everything else around here. I'll just do it my damn self. Garfield and Connor like, what's her problem? Like, she threw a fireball at him, and then like Connor like blew it away. I thought that was cute. And then she came too, and she didn't realize what was happening. So it's some shit.
Yeah.
And I think it's in context when I think about like what is happening next, I feel like. I predict that it's Blackfire trying to get a hold of her.
Yeah, because the preview at the end of episode 3 kind of just
mm-hmm.
yeah, it just like confirmed that, or like, you know, yeah, most likely that's what it is.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, I'm excited because the next episode, we get to see Blackfyre. I am so excited to see these two black girls, like, go. Well, for, well, you know they're going to fight. Like, we saw that.
Oh, of course.
The girls are going to fight.
Yeah.
Like, a la Brooke Valentine.
shut up.
And then they're going to, and I see, you know, her and Starfyre, Blackfyre and Starfyre, like, standing together in the preview. And I've actually never seen like that. I'm not big on the comics, so I'm not sure if Blackfyre joined the Titans, but in the Teen Titans show, Starfyre and Blackfyre never worked together to, like, you know, defeat an enemy. Like they were, like, the two of them were always, like, sworn enemies. So it'll be nice, like, seeing two black versions of Starfyre and Blackfyre, you know, like, fighting out their differences and then, you know, like, forming an alliance. I think that'll be fun to see. Because both of them look sickening.
Honestly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just want an episode where we just go back to Tamaran. Because you know the whole planet is black.
God, I'm just thinking about it. Like,
because, like, everyone.
So fucking cool.
Everyone we've seen come from the alien planet of Tamaran has been black. Like, yeah. Specifically black and dark skinned. So that's interesting. Like that. Just interesting to, like, see. Like, I think just give us one episode. But yeah, that was the first three episodes of Titans. They're streaming now on HBO Max. Go on and get into it. By the time this drops, the Starfyre episode will. Excuse me, the Blackfyre episode will have dropped. And we will review that for the Monday episode. So, yeah. All right. That wraps up the first review. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk Marvel What If.
I said never flies solo.
Is that some kind of catchphrase?
You had me worried for a second.
Journey to face the unknown and ponder the question. What if?
All right, and we are back with another review for y'all. So, What If is an American animated anthology series created by A.C. Bradley for the streaming service Disney Plus, based on the Marvel comic series of the same name. It is the fourth television series in the Marvel Cinematic Universe produced by Marvel Studios and the studio's first animated series. The series explores alternate timelines in the multiverse that show what would happen if major moments from the MCU films occurred differently. Bradley serves as head writer with Brian Andrews directing. Jeffrey Wright, my baby daddy, stars as the Watcher, who narrates the series, alongside many MCU film actors reprising their roles. By September 2018, Marvel Studios was developing a number of series for Disney+, with Bradley and Andrews joining by the end of 2018. The series was officially announced in April 2019. The first season of What If premiered on August 11th, 2021, and it's got 9 episodes, y'all, concluding on October 6th. Let's just get to it. So, episode 1, girl. What if Captain Carter were the first Avenger? During World War II, Steve Rogers is chosen to become the world's first super soldier, but is wounded by a Hydra spy before he can receive the super soldier serum. SSR agent Peggy Carter kills the spy and volunteers to receive the serum herself. She is successfully enhanced but banned from combat by SSR leader John Flynn after she takes the Tesseract from Hydra with a vibranium shield from inventor Howard Stark. Flynn reluctantly promotes her to the combat role of Captain Carter. Stark uses the Tesseract to create a weaponized armored suit for Rogers to pilot as the Hydra Stomper. Carter and Rogers fight many battles until he goes missing while attacking a Hydra train. Carter and her allies find Rogers when they infiltrate a Hydra base and see Red Skull using the Tesseract to open a portal and summon an interdimensional creature. It's wild, y'all. It's wild. There were so many things that happened in this episode. We're gonna do good, bad, and nigga what, like, for each one. So, what did you like about this episode?
Nah, nigga, you start this time. You start for Captain.
Oh wait. Right. Sorry. I always make you go first.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I stay pushing you in the pool first.
No, it's okay.
So, have you ever seen the animated movie A Scanner Darkly?
A what?
Neither have I. Yeah, but no. I do know that the animation, it reminds me of that movie, A Scanner Darkly. It's like very heavily cel-shaded. It's very clearly like, it's like, it looks like motion capture. The animation, it's interesting. It reminds me of Iron Man Armored Adventures, like a show that aired about 10 years ago. Of it was like a teenage Tony Stark doing donning Iron Man. It looks like a revamped like version of that type of animation, and it's really, really interesting, the fact that they did CGI, like they did CGI in a really, really, like, really fantastic way, and it's really easy for it to get a little choppy, and I will say that some of the movements are a tad wooden, but most of it was really fluid, and it looked like very much looked like a comic book, like, come to life. Peggy Carter, as I'm calling her, Captain Britain. Like, and Captain Carter, she got the British flag on her shield. She got, like, it was fucking weird. Like, it was so weird, like, not to call her Captain Britain, when she's clearly decked out in, like, you know, the British flag. So, but yeah, she kicked ass. Like, Mama had muscles. Like, she was beating ass. Like, it was basically, If you watched Agent Carter on ABC, yeah, it was basically like a revamped version of that, like an enhanced version of that. Like, what if she was doing all that wild shit, but she had the super soldier serum? And I know, like, you know, Agent Carter fans were like, oh, what if she had it? So, you know, it's like, you know, feeding that fan base, you know, is pretty dope. I live for man babies getting upset. Because, girl, they were not happy about a woman having large muscles.
Oh, God.
They were mad. The transphobia jumped out, girl. And I'm like, the incels were like, oh, my God, they made woman strong and they left man weak. So, yeah, just get over it. It's literally like what happens if they flip the shit. And Steve Rogers, he still gets to kick ass in a fucking iron suit. Like, you get to see Steve Rogers as Iron Man. Like, why are you complaining? Why are you complaining, girl? Why are you complaining? What'd you like about the show?
You already said it, but, like, the animation. I love this type of animation. I don't know. I've never seen the cartoon that you said, or I'm sorry, the animation, the movie that you said, but, like, I love this type of animation. I've seen it somewhere. Like, was it Fantasia-ish? Maybe. But
White beaters and jeans!
Shut up. But, yeah, like, the animation was beautiful. I liked, I personally think that, like, when I finished the episode, I was like, wow, Peggy would have been a better Captain America, I guess. No shame to Steve Rogers, but it just, like, yeah. Peggy was just not playing with these niggas at all.
Yeah, you know, like, when you had them, that Windows 98, like, that little pinball game that you would play. Like, you would play all the time, like, whenever the internet was down, because that's the only way, the only thing you had to pass the time.
Yeah.
And you would just go, like, rack up, like, a million points on that shit. That's how Captain Carter was knocking these suckers down.
Like, nigga, when she, like, she took multiple niggas down at once. Like, she fucking stopped this car and threw it at these niggas. Like, she was not fucking playing. There was this one scene where I thought she was going to jump through a building. That shit would have been dope as hell, but she didn't. She was doing something else. But I was like, bitch, is she about to jump through this building? She didn't. But, I liked, because there was this thing that, what's that guy's name?
Red Skull?
No, John Flynn.
John Flynn?
John Flynn. Like, it was,
the misogynist?
Yeah, it was like this this recurring thing that he said, you're lucky to be in the room. And at the end...
Oh, yeah!
When, like, basically Peggy was the one who niggas had to go through. Like, she said it to him. You're, Flynn, you're lucky to be in the room. And he looked at her like, well, damn,
He was gagged?
Yeah, he was like...
He was gagged.
I can't say shit about it, but... But I liked that. I liked... how her and Steve Rogers worked well together with him in that flimsy ass first Iron Man suit. I really, really liked how, this is the What If universe, how that one thing changed the course of so many other things. And it was so cool to see that.
The fact that they were willing to just let the serum go, mm-hmm. and let it let it go to waste rather than just give it to someone who was clearly able to
handle it,
to put it to some use,
right?
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. But yeah, that's my favorite parts of the show. And then at the end, of course, where Peggy pushed the damn interdimensional being back. Like, she pushed that whole nigga back into where it came from. Like, what? Mm. Oh my gosh, she was not fucking playing. And then at the end, where she went through, they thought she was gone, but she ended up in the future.
Instead of, not via a deep freeze, but mm-hmm. just time portal.
Yeah, time portal. Right. That was so cool.
Showing up in like the Avengers initiative, basically giving us Avengers, mm-hmm. Avengers like Nick Fury and Hawkeye for some reason. It's like, hey girl, you trying to save the world? I didn't really have. Yeah, there's really no bad that I can think of. Yeah.
I guess the only bad would be the misogynist, like we said, which was annoying, but it also had uh-huh. his place, which he was put in his place at the end, so.
Yeah, it was cute. Mm-hmm. I guess the only bad is like y'all still trying to like force Clint Barton on us. Like Brussels sprouts? Like, no. No. No, girl.
Oh,
all right. But on to... Whew, God.
Wow.
I was... Episode 2. I was deep in my feelings.
Yeah.
Like, all right, let me just read the description real quick. Part of the description. Let me read part of the description. Give me one second. In 1988, the Ravagers are sent to Earth by the Celestial Ego to retrieve his son Peter Quill, but mistakenly abduct a young T'Challa from Wakanda. He joins them to explore the galaxy. 20 years later, T'Challa has become a famous galactic outlaw mercenary, Star-Lord, while a reformed Thanos and Korath have joined the Ravagers' roster. Nebula approaches the Ravagers, proposing to steal the Embers of Genesis, cosmic dust capable of terraforming ecosystems and eradicating galactic hunger, from the new galactic kingpin, Tanalir Teevon. To get close to Teevon on Nowhere, they offer him the Power Stone Orb that T'Challa obtained from Morag. In Teevon's vast collection, T'Challa finds a Wakandan spacecraft sent to find him, revealing that Wakanda was not destroyed as Ravager leader Yondu claimed. There is there is so much to unpack here. Let's just start from the beginning. It was such a gift to hear Chadwick Boseman's voice again.
Mm-hmm.
It was so nice, and like I talk my shit. Like it was a little too high, a little too high pitched, but it was just so. It was so nice, like him as T'Challa animated. Like the fact that he's Star-Lord, the fact that it was like a complete opposite, because when Hillsong Church was Star-Lord, and anybody knew about him, I was like, I'm Star-Lord, and like, and dudes like Diamond Huntsu was like, yeah, girl, I don't know who you are, but Black Star-Lord, T'Challa-Lord, if you will, everybody knows him. Like he is the coolest motherfucker. Like Korath, he was like, yo, I don't even want to like fight you because like I have so much damn respect for you.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh, yeah.
Yo, the pleasantries like before them niggas started bucking was so fucking hilarious. My Star-Lord, oh my god, can I use the gun? Yeah, you can use the gun. Are you sure I can put it away? Oh my god,
you can use the gun, my brother.
He's like, oh, did I hit you? I'm so sorry. He was like, yes. This time, next time, do it faster. It was so funny.
You are getting better. I believe in you.
Yeah, and then, I really enjoyed it.
And yeah, and then when Yondu shows up, I was a little triggered when I heard Michael Rooker's voice calling T'Challa boy. Ooh, but I...
child.
I got over it.
Because that fully, man yeah. can play a racist, okay?
He can play a racist, so girl.
Well. So well.
Ooh. Anyway, yeah, they actually seem like they liked each other. I'm sorry, I'm going to jump around from good to bad. I felt like there were too many quips. It was a little too jokey in the beginning. Like, can we just kind of like, I know this is supposed to be like a different T'Challa. Cause like the regular T'Challa, regular Black Panther, he's not, I think that speaks to his slight change in character because you think of the regular T'Challa, the 616 T'Challa. Because he's the king of an entire country, he has to carry himself with a specific sort of decorum. Mm. And, you know, he can't be all quippy and shit like that. But, you know, this is the T'Challa that was taken by the Ravagers. They're a bunch of space pirates. They don't give a fuck. So I guess, like, so keeping that in mind and, like, you know, like going back and, like, you know, thinking about that, I'm like, oh, okay, all right. So this makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that like Nebula was like a badass bitch like she always is, mm-hmm. but you know, she like Mama came out with the blonde wig, the blonde wig was laid. Okay. Mama came through stunting on him. It like she had a nickname for T'Challa, Cha Cha. I'm like, I guess. Hello, little African. He's giving Mean Girls like, hey, I'm like, what up, Africa? That's whatever. Thanos was there. Still, and the fact that everybody was dragging him for being. For being a genocidal asshole.
Nigga, that the Thanos bit was so fucking funny. And of course, only T'Challa would be able to reform Thanos. I love that. Mm. Of course.
Healing the earth. Yeah. The fact that Drax was just a bartender. And I'm like, you know what? His skill set pretty much calls for that. Cause comic Drax is an actual badass. Like MCU Drax is very mid. So bartender, a lot much better fit for him. I really liked seeing T'Challa in this area, because in Guardians of the Galaxy, you have white people. You maybe have one or two lighter skinned people of color, and all like the brown people are, they got their faces covered in paint. So it was really nice to see like a dark skinned black person like in a space like African, black person like in this setting, and it was really cool. Like it was very much giving Afrofuturism tease. I really appreciated that. And when they go to when they meet up with T'Von, played by Del Toro, Benicio Del Toro, the Collector is really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, and we got to see a little bit of him. Like, he's an asshole. He's a complete asshole dickhead. But he's a very engaging character. It's just like somebody who collects things from the entire, you know, place. So he doesn't, like, he only cares about collecting things. Like, he's the universe's ultimate fanboy.
Yeah.
Like, he just collects, and he doesn't really give a fuck about, like, feelings or whatever. He just has to collect and, you know, poke and prod and whatever. Still treats his slave like shit. Yikes. And it was really interesting seeing him actually utilize all the things that he had collected, you know, in his fight with T'Challa. Oh, but more on that later. The gag that Yondu had lied to T'Challa to keep him to keep him like chilling with them, like, you know, to keep the family together, keep them, you know, having space adventures. And T'Challa was like, "You fucking lied to me, you blue piece of shit." Like, he's like, I don't want you to leave. You with us. It's like, I literally could have been dripped in the finest of African jewels. Like, just shoveling down Wakandan jollof rice, and you had me on a fucking musty ass spaceship stealing shit from aliens that were ready to rip my head off.
Right.
I'm allowed to be upset exactly about this.
And then I think toward the end, because like, okay, so like there was because the way he, you know, discovered that is because his father had like did like a what was it, like a beacon, like a holographic message.
Yeah, like they sent some shit out into space to go look for him, because Wakanda.
Yeah, and he saw it and he was like, excuse me, so girls, I thought Wakanda was destroyed. So why do I have this message from my daddy saying that he's still looking for me?
Yeah. You made me think that my entire family, my entire home country was dead.
Right.
And it's the fact that like he was very much like old enough to remember his home.
Yeah.
His home country.
Obviously, like what, like 10 maybe when he got.
Yeah. Yeah. So just having to go through the trauma of like Yondu telling him that like your whole entire family, everything you've known is gone. Like he had that and it's stuck in his mind.
Right.
For years, and then he
And then like when all that happened, you know, like they got, but like at the toward the end of it, before they got back to Wakanda, he said, like, basically Yondu was kind of like saying, "Hey, are we good?" And T'Challa was like, "You know, it's okay. I asked you to show me the world, but you showed me the universe." I was like, "Girl, you were 10."
Like, yeah, you were very much you.
Why are you taking the same amount of responsibility?
Yeah,
with not, this, as this blue
not,
nigga.
Yeah,
like why?
Not this Stockholm syndrome, right, girl.
Like, I understand, yeah, mm-hmm. Yondu showed you a lot, but also, nigga, you were a child.
He not only did he abduct you, he wasn't even supposed to abduct
exactly.
you. Exactly. He was supposed to scoop up the white boy.
Exactly. He could have dropped you back off, nigga.
He literally could have dropped you back off. But he was like, nah. He's like, oh, like, this one has color skin like me, so I'm going to keep him.
Yeah. Yep.
The fight between T'Challa and the Collector mm-hmm. was fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. Him using the different weapons he had collected, particularly like the most prominent one. And I'm like, we love a queer coded character.
Yes.
When Miss Mamas put on the Goddesses of Death's like headdress yes. and was feeling his pussy. I was like, come on, bitch. Come on. You better work. I was like, yeah, he was like, that woman knew how to dress. I was like, okay. All right. It's the MCU LGBTQIA+ alphabet mafia in this bitch.
I loved it. I loved it.
Like if you're gonna queer code a character, like do it.
Exactly. yeah. And then after all that, they they go back to Wakanda, and you know, T'Challa.
Before that, Pink Girl, the reason that T'Challa was able to get away, is because she helped him out.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, oh, you know, I like that. I like that thing you said about not keeping people in cages. So, you know,
yeah.
Black people liberating everyone, because as that's always, just what we do.
As always.
All right. But yeah, but he finally gets back home, and bitch, this made me this ruined me. this actually ruined me.
Mm.
We walk in. He is finally reunited with his family, and I'm just like, it's not just Queen Mother Ramonda and Shuri. It is Queen Mother Ramonda, it is Shuri, and it is King T'Chaka waiting for him.
Yep.
We have never seen all four of them
wow
in a room together. This is the first time we've seen all of them together, and part of me was kind of upset that Shuri didn't have any lines. Cause like, you know, Shuri loved to talk, so it was very weird that she was just very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But it was it was so nice to see all four of them together as a family, like the royal Wakandan family. Just Danai Gurira had a quick line.
Yes,
you know, again, dragging Thanos about the genocide thing. Can we just have a show about this?
I would love that.
Can we just have a show about this, please?
A reformed Thanos is so funny to me.
He's like, oh, I mean, it's official. I'm like, no, it's genocide, girl.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, it's not genocide because it was random. I was like, girl, let's not split hairs. Let's not do this.
Like let's not, you know, yeah, just so white.
Right. Ugh. And then and then the very end, the last scene
mm-hmm.
it was so fucking funny. We have Peter Quill working at like a fast food restaurant. Mopping the floors. Mm. Mopping the motherfucking floors. And then who do we see?
His daddy.
His pappy.
His daddy.
His pappy comes and he's like, what do you say again?
Hey, boy. Hey, boy. Put that damn mop down. Let's go rule the galaxy.
Oh, God.
But yeah, this is a and you know they had a nice little memorial at the end.
Yeah,
I'm yeah. This is definitely an episode I'm going to watch again.
Yeah, same. Because there was so much.
It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's beautiful. And this is I read into it. This is one of four episodes that we get to hear Chadwick in.
Ooh,
so yeah, we're definitely going to hear and they definitely teased. They teased a different version of the Avengers, so with T'Challa as Star-Lord. So, I'm really excited to see what they got up next. Really.
Honestly,
excited.
Check it out because it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely check out Marvel's What If. It is streaming on Disney Plus. God, it is fun for the whole family.
Yes, and for real.
And when I stop being so broke, like I'm getting a T'Challa Star-Lord figure.
I know that's
like,
right.
But it's girl. this Christmas, like I'm
because just spoiling myself. Oh God, I'm sorry. I'm just like. The juxtaposition, Peter Quill is probably the reason why half of the universe got like, obliterated like versus T'Challa.
He is behind Hawkeye, he is the least favorite superhero in the MCU.
As he should be.
And then they flipped him into like the most liked. Ugh. T'Challa.
Yes. Like, yep. Love it.
All right, and so that wraps up this episode of Big Boy Brunch. Please be sure to turn on your notifications because we drop an episode every week. This was a special week because we missed last week, so we got two cute episodes for y'all. But we're about to get on up out of here. No scrape today, because girl, we just wanted to revel in the joy. So yeah. Dre, where can the people find you?
Yes, I'm on Twitter at Exhibit Dre and on Instagram at Exhibit_Dre.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok because apparently y'all like videos of me laughing at cartoons. That was so weird. I have 600,000 views for a 10-second clip of me laughing. Like, I have like 5-6 other videos of me actually doing, you know, voiceover work and voiceover challenges, but no. Something that could actually get me a job. But no, people are laughing at me laughing at cartoons. Go fucking figure. But anyway, you can follow me on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at Lolo Von Z. That is LOLOVONZ. Thank you so much for listening to Big Boy Brunch. Check, please.